Right, welcome to the Codfathers podcast in association with Smile Radio. We're down in the West End. We're at the Montague Hotel in the Leopard Bar with their award-winning rock and electric guitarist. Listen to me, rock and blues guitarist Marino. So thank you for inviting us to your neck of the woods.
Oh, it's a complete pleasure. It's great to see you.
Yeah, say we spoke many times on their Facebook or Messenger or whatever, haven't we? So
absolutely,
and it's a real pleasure. We've come up with this. We need to meet. We need to promote, and we need to find out a little bit more about you.
The spiel has to happen.
So we'll kick in. We'll go straight into the record shops. When you're growing up, were there any decent ones near you?
Well, now we know record shops are like hen's teeth.
That's vinyl to those, you know, people out there.
Exactly, the dinosaurs. But I tell you, it's all coming back. The record store, it wasn't sort of like where near I live, but in the city centre of Hull, and just through there near Tower Cinema, there was a store called John Sheridan's.
Yes, I know.
And
it well.
John Sheridan was a hippie. He used to be in there with his ponytail, his hair was grey.
And the comic books as well.
Yeah, he had all, you know, but he had the incense burning. And it was great because you'd go through the records, you'd put them on. Yeah, it was beautiful. But it was just a great vibed out place. Lots of nice hippie chicks in there, and it was just great, you know. So you listen to great music, and there's a lot of eye candy.
Your actual first time you went, how old was you?
What was that?
How old was you with the first time you went in?
Into John Shea? I would say about 15 years old.
So you've got your 15. Pocket money and you're in.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that
Can
was...
Can you remember the first album you actually bought then?
Yes, it was Santana Abraxas with Black Magic Woman on your Comodar.
We can talk a little bit about that because Santana is a big hero of yours, isn't he?
Yes,
I do know.
Yes.
But yeah, we'll go on to that. But so yeah, Santana.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then the next album I bought was Jimi Hendrix's Electric Ladyland, which completely changed my life. And the three albums that changed my life, Santana Abraxas, Hendrix's Electric Ladyland, and Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
Well...
So that was it.
There's great, you know, you've got going across the...
But all great guitar playing.
Yes. Like you say, Santana. I mean, Hendrix, like you say, was an innovator, I suppose. Like you say, he was doing things people didn't do on a guitar.
Right.
I mean, when I watch him, I still think, well, everything about him was wrong.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Well, he didn't even buy a left-handed guitar, did he?
No, exactly.
You know, and people go, oh, his thumb's in the wrong place, and he can't buy a liquid player.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing was just like an explosion of faith. I mean, it was just amazing. Amazing guitar.
Oh, without a doubt.
But the production and the vision of electric Ladyland, if you listen to the entire album from beginning to end, it takes you on this amazing journey, and I love it. To this day, I love it.
Yeah, well, so it's one that's still in the collection that you still get out from time to time.
Occasionally, I do. I don't listen too much to really. I'm so busy in the studio and whatnot. I tend to when I get home, you know, watch football, boxing. No,
well,
I love
Liverpool
sport.
Fans as well.
I'm a big Liverpool fan.
Yeah, so we've got something in common there.
So. Yeah, so I'm very excited at the moment.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a long time coming.
29 years, bro.
29 years. Yeah, that's a long time. Yeah, I say my kids haven't seen that, but yes. So we're going to play the first track, or first couple of tracks from After the Storm, which was your 2017.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I remember you sending me a signed copy.
Pleasure was all mine, brother.
So the opening track is
Voodoo Charm.
Voodoo Charm, not Charm. That's the end bit. Yeah, that's
exactly.
The end
bit. But, you know,
Voodoo
I'll take
Charm,
it.
Yeah. It's actually my favourite track on the album. I must
is
say.
It?
It is, yes.
I appreciate it, brother.
Thank you. voodoo queen. She plays the cards in New Orleans. Magic will embrace you.
Embrace you.
As she turns to face you,
she asks you a question with her eyes. It's something you can't answer. You just can't answer. For this forbidden love,
love.
Your heart will break for life. Love.
I've got a black magic woman, got me so blind I can't see. That she's a black magic woman, she's trying to make a devil out of me. Don't turn your back on me, baby. Don't turn your back on me, baby. Yes, don't turn your back on me, baby. Stop messing around with your tricks. Don't turn your back on me, baby. You just might pick up my magic.
Right, so we're back again. I'm with Marino in the West End. I am the Codfather.
Yes, you are.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, as I say, this is very opulent in here. It's lovely. We'll take some photos so you can look on the website. www.thecodfatherdj.com. So there you go. Right, we move on. First time you picked up a guitar. And what was your driving force?
Well, again, the driving force. Well, actually, the first time I wanted to play guitar, when we were kids, and, you know, I didn't want to go to school and shit like that. So the bottom line of it is we would...
twag.
Know, yeah, that's exactly. We would twag. And
you'd call it... truanting.
Our spiel used to be the Tower Cinema. We used to have the Swedish porn films on. And we had a midget in our class. And so we used to make sure that he was twagging with us. And then we'd put him through the window at the back of Tower. And then he would open the fire doors. And then we'd be in, you know. And there'd be a few dirty old sods in there. And we'd get in and...
Dirty Mac Brigade.
The Dirty Mac Brigade. And we'd get in. And then one day we... got in and we had the midget, we had the whole shtick. But it wasn't Swedish porn. It was Woodstock.
Ah.
And that is when I got completely turned on to what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, because I got to see Jimmy and Carlos on this massive screen.
He did the
Star Spangled Banner.
That's right,
and Carlos did Soul Sacrifice in the movie. And to me, watching them both, you know, like guitar players, you see someone play the guitar, but seeing Carlos and Jimmy, it was like watching an exorcism, you know. It was like it was amazing. And I like boxing and things. I love music. So physicality of playing and the exaltation of the way they played made me want to be a guitar player, you know.
It all stemmed from that then.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's plenty of people who are going to sit down and play you a tune. But,
I'm about it's not at really that level. You know, I can a three chord bash.
That's,
you know,
okay. That's a three chords and the truth.
Yeah, the truth they're telling me to piss off with it. That's what it. So we'll go into your first guitar then.
It's a Les Paul copy. Can't remember.
The Epiphone or something.
I don't
something
think it was even that good. It was something really dodgy.
And costing, come on, this is because we are retro. We're not old, we're retro.
We're retro.
At the time, it had been a lot of money.
I guess it was. I really don't remember where it came from. I just remember I had it. I had it.
Acquired. You didn't steal it, did you?
No, but someone else may have.
One of them. Elephant and Castle.
Look, you know, we're lads, East Hull, and things turn up on your doorstep. Oh, great field of state.
Yeah, great.
You know,
yeah.
It's.
Don't arrange myself. But there you go,
yeah, it's a rough neighbourhood.
Yeah, so.
But I loved it.
Les Paul. What color was it?
Starburst.
Oh, the Starburst.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And to me, but, you know, I didn't know anything about setting the strings, so it was like a cheese grater. You know, the higher up I went, the more risk I stood of losing my fingers. And then eventually, you know, you meet other guitar players. And
I was going to say, where did the musicality come from? Did your dad play or?
Well, he did play. He did play. He's a fantastic percussionist. You know, my dad's Portuguese. And
Sorry? With the De Silva name, I want to sure if it's Portuguese or Brazilian, because I used to play football and he was called Jocelino De Silva,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But I know Brazilians speak Portuguese.
Yeah, you got it, brother. So, yeah, my dad was Portuguese, and so brought a lot of that influence. But, you know, my mum and dad were divorced, so he wasn't, you know, around on Greatfield and whatnot for a while, but then not so much after that. So anyway, but it was great. And what happened was I basically locked myself in the bedroom with Electric Ladyland and Abraxas and taught myself how to play. I'm a completely, completely self-taught guitarist. I don't read.
Even down to the tuning.
I just taught myself how to do it. You know, I wanted to play along.
I suppose, you've got some people have to train that. Some people have a more natural.
I mean, I wanted to do it. And I felt as though I could do it.
So you spent hours.
And so then I used to have my fans outside on Aberford Walk. So I'd have the window open and I'd be blasting my guitar out. And they were my first audience, you know. And it was great. And I realized that with that kind of power, you could do a lot. You know, people respond. Yeah. To play.
Turn it down.
Yeah. Well, I got to be honest with you, the neighbours were fantastic. I never got that.
You must have been half decent then, even then.
Maybe so, but maybe not. I'm not. All I can say is that there was never that mentality around me on Greatfield. It was more like, rock and rolling, you know, different days, different era.
Right, we'll go through another musical break then.
Must be some kind of way out of here. Say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth. None will level on the mine.
to get excited. The thing they kind of spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that. And this is not our fate. So let us start talking falsely now. The hour's getting late. Hey! We'll be right back.
rocking and rolling. Right, I know you've played all over the world.
Sure.
Definitely across the pond and across the UK as well, I'm sure. But so the biggest differences in audiences across the world, are they more receptive? Well, do they get a little bit, you know? I mean, the Americans can be quite over the top, can't they?
That's an interesting question. I mean, to me, it's different, but it's still great, you know, either way. Different things ignite different audiences. Mm. But eventually it all becomes the same thing. You know, everybody wants to get off. It's like saying making love to an American chick or an English chick, you know what I mean? It, in the end of the day, it's going to be the same thing when you get down to it. And that's what guitar is for me anyway, you know, that's it.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, I don't know, it's just one of the things. I just wondered if it was sort of like, you know, are they more vocal, you know, are they a bit
well,
more...
the chicks or the audience?
Well, both.
How about the Germans, though? The Germans go mad for the rock.
Yeah, I mean, I love playing.
You've just been in Germany.
Yeah, I've just been in Germany and setting up some shows there and whatnot. I mean, Germans love rock and roll. They love hard rock, metal, or blues, whatever you want to call it. But the world does, you know, whether it be Japan.
It's a universal language,
and I feel as though, for me personally as a musician, it's been fantastic all around the world. You know, I don't particularly have a favourite place. Really, I really don't.
No, I suppose. I suppose with music, you go because you want to be there, don't you?
You do. And I play because I want to play. Yeah. It's not like, oh, you know, you got to go do this tour and they drag me out to do it.
Yeah, so people starting out then, what would your best advice be?
Don't do it, Rambo.
You're the second person we've actually spoken to. Nathan here, our production manager here. He interviewed a musician, not something, and he said, become a gardener.
Yeah, Well, if you're Mick Ronson, it's cool.
But yeah, well, yeah, no one's joking.
But, you know, I don't mean... What I mean by that is if you really are aspiring to do it and you're willing to give it your all and it's your life, but what happens with rock and roll is what people don't realise. Say you want to be a boxer. What's fantastic about boxing is if you don't train right and you don't do this right and you don't do that right, it ends really fast. You just get in the ring.
You've got to put the foundations in...
But it ends fast. If you a pretend musician, it lingers for years, and you're just like this lingering thing that nobody wants to know about. But with boxing, what's great is someone just knocks you out, and it puts everyone out in misery if you're not going to go for it. So my advice is, if you really want to do it, then fantastic,
jump in.
But if you're a part time, you just enjoy it playing. Then use it as a hobby.
I think that's the biggest thing, isn't it? You know? I think some people. Yeah. Maybe don't have realistic goals.
I mean, girls, I know, dancers, ballet dancers and whatnot, the hours that they put in to do what they do is astounding. And then you meet a dude who's in a rock and roll band and he's sort of like just all over the place. So that's cool if you're Slash, but it's not cool if you're not.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. But he's established and he's done all the...
But even, you know, I mean, I met Slash back in the day when he wasn't established, and he was a cool dude then, and he's a cool dude now. When I met Slash in the Marquee back in the day when they were actually sound checking at the Marquee Club, to when I had a beer with him in his house in Malibu a couple of years ago, it's the same dude. Same guy, you know. He's really great at what he does.
Oh, without a doubt.
And he works real hard at that. He's become...
It's all in the fingers.
A really rock and roll icon.
Yeah, I think, I look at people, you know, when people fly him out around the world to play stage.
So what it is, more than anything else, is Slash has got this fantastic image. And he's a fantastic guitar player. When he Slash is the cool thing. It's like Keith Richards is Keith Richards. Yeah. And I guess the point I'm making here is you have to get your own sound, and eventually that'll carry you through. But if you don't keep playing, you'll never get there, because you'll always be doing something that someone else did. So it's a lot of work.
So basically, you jump in wholeheartedly, dedicate yourself.
Or don't. Yeah. And the point of it is only like maybe 0.25%, even maybe less than that, are into doing that. So that's why I say, no, don't bother, you know. Have some fun, have a beer, learn to play Hotel California or God Save the Queen. And
I want to play that.
And someone will say to you, you know, your granny will go, you're great. And that's it. Fantastic. Or maybe
she might be dead honest and say, you're crap.
Know your audience, brother.
Give it up, yeah. So, right, we're going to go to music break again. We're going back to After the Storm, and I've got a cracking question for you next. I can't wait to hear the answer to this. We'll be back shortly. Back again, we're in the West End with the Codfather and Marino. Right, I'm really looking forward to asking you this question.
Are you?
Oh, aye.
Okay.
What do you think of The X Factor?
What do I think of it? Well, I've watched it, and now I don't watch it. Well, it's an interesting question, because for some singers it can work, but problem is this, is that it's actually karaoke.
I agree.
So even if somebody's like an absolutely brilliant singer, or they sing like Whitney Houston, or they sing like Mariah Carey, or whatever, at the end of the day, it's karaoke. So if you think about competitions, and like when I was in the States, it was American Idol, same concept, obviously, with Simon Cowell. Now, the thing is this, if you think about some of the most creative and geniuses that wouldn't even get on the stage, if you think of Jim Morrison, right?
Oh, now you're talking.
Wouldn't get on the stage. Bob Dylan wouldn't get on the stage. Oh, Mick Jagger wouldn't get on the stage.
Lee's getting excited. You mentioned Dylan.
You wouldn't even, like, they wouldn't even be an afterthought, you know? It's as simple as that. They wouldn't even be an afterthought.
If you're traveling in the North Country Fire, where the winds hit heavy on the borderline, remember me to one who lives there. For she once was a true lover man. If you go when the snowflakes storm, when the rivers freeze and summer ends, please see she has a coat so warm to keep her from the howling wind. Please see if her hair hangs long, if it rolls and flows all down her breast. Please see for me if her hair's hanging long, for that's the way I remember her best. I'm wondering if she remembers me at all. Many times I've often prayed in the darkness of my night, in the brightness of my day. Was a true love of mine.
crystal blue eyes reflect a star's life. Your face, how it's warm, while scars come with fame. With drink in hand, you miss and reminisce. Days of glory and laughter, and singing with the band. The chill of fall trembles in the dark blue sky. Now the stage is set as a candle burns. Vanilla light, your light. Vanilla light, your spotlight. The dancer sounds a stage.
Why do I cry? Why did you die?
Dancer sounds a stage.
Why do I cry? Why did you die?
Your stardom, your kingdom is not what it seems. Your life hour blackout as the curtain comes down. With drink in hand, you debate with hate. Nights of torment, of tears, and singing with the band. Commanding center stage. Forgotten loves, lost along the way. Out of step, out of time, a star in decay. We'll be right back.
So therein lies the problem with the X Factor. To me, it could ruin somebody, you know, to have fame. Now, like, I don't want to be like all our yesterdays, but the thing about music is you have to pay your dues. So you play the clubs, you play this.
This is my argument with my wife.
Yeah, you have good
get
night.
Out and do it.
Yeah, you do stuff and you play. But what it is when you do eventually have success, you're cool because you kind of feel as though you deserved it.
You've been at the humble beginnings, haven't
you? I mean, if you go on TV once and the next thing you know, they're saying, oh, yeah, you're Whitney Houston or whatever. Well, cool, but then, you know, you're going to spend more in therapy than you're going to receive from your hit single. And I've worked with a lot of artists, and I've seen a lot of problems with fame firsthand. So in fact, I knew Whitney Houston. If you listen to After the Storm, there's several musicians from Whitney's band.
There's Paul, a long list, isn't there?
Paul Jackson on guitar, played for Whitney. Paul Jackson was the music director for American Idol, and Paul and I worked together at Capitol Records a lot, and he's on Pray, the track Pray. That's from right, After the Storm, and he's going to be on After the Storm too. So when you see the problems that Whitney had, you can only imagine what someone who's impersonating Whitney is going to have.
Because
it's all about material. And at the end of the day, and we use Whitney as an example because she's an amazing vocalist, and many of the kids today just copy that genre, that style, to establish the fact they're a great singer. The thing is, she had Clive Davis, one of the greatest record company guys in the history of the music industry, putting the material together. So once you've sang Whitney Houston's song or whoever's song, what are you going to sing? What are you going to say to the public? And it can become a real, slash your wrist job when everyone goes, you're brilliant, until you sing your own song or sing some song some schmuck's written that hasn't come from Clive Davis. I'm sure it works for some people, but I'm a rock and roll guy. I'm a blues guy. I'm a roots guy. I like folk music. I like the mixture of roots music, and you make a great pop record like Van Morrison can. Yes. And then someone like Rod Stewart can sing his song and have a number one all over the world, but there's an integrity to it. There's roots to it. Yeah. And I think that why I'm still playing guitar and still doing what I do is because within my music, I always tell the truth somewhere along the line. There's always that roots to what I'm doing that real music lovers can relate to. They could, they still hear it. So X Factor, great karaoke show, not to be taken too seriously. Simon Cowell would disagree with me and say, oh, I got a white Rolls Royce. I say to him, mazel tov, but what about the kids and the counselling and the therapy bills? Okay, that's my spiel.
That's a very, very honest assessment, I think.
Showed me what to do through the wind, the storm, and the rain.
where we're going from there. Dead or alive?
Alive, please.
Well, dead or alive, who would be your favourite artist band to collaborate with on a song?
Dead or alive, wow.
Well, you can give us one of each if you like.
I mean, obviously Jimmy comes to mind, Hendrix comes to mind, but there'd be no room, you know, there'd be no room to play because, like, he's all over the track. And I don't see that. Great question. I think that this stage of my career, I would love to play guitar with Bob Dylan.
Oh, there you go, Lee. Yeah. There you've just met Lee. Yeah, there you are. You've met Lee's day there.
Well, I remember one of the things with my bro, Mick Ronson, I was more interested in his days with Bob than I was with David Bowie, you know? I really was.
Yeah, people forget that, don't they? He did a big tour.
On Prey, the game that we did at Capitol Records, Bob Dylan's wife, she did the choir and organized all of that stuff. And Bob called her while we were in the studio and she said, oh, I'm working with Marino. And he goes, oh, and he goes, an English musician. And he goes, where's he from? And she said, and I didn't know she was on the phone to Bob. And she holds it and she goes, where are you from? In England. And I said, sir, I'm from Hull. So she said to Bob, he's from Hull. And then Bob obviously connected with the Mick Ronson thing. So he has to speak to me.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, so I went on the phone to him and he said, oh, you know, Mick Ronson. I said, yeah, Mick produced me and, you know.
He was a great field lad, wasn't he?
Yeah, of course he was. Yeah, great field lad. And so we started talking about this and then Bob did a fantastic Hull accent impersonation that he got from Mick. Impersonation. So I hope that one day that would be it. Yeah, I would let me go with Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan. So there you go, folks. Bob Dylan is
a little long-winded there, but it's a spiel. No, you know,
you give us your reasons. We'll go on. What's your favourite Bob Dylan track? There you go. Dr. Ains needs to know because he will slot
Girl, Girl from the North Country.
Girl from the North. There you go. There you are. You just met his day. Dr. Ains can
you know, die. From the album where he's walking down the street with a chick on his arm. You know the one.
He'll know it.
Where the winds hit heavy.
But I do agree with you.
On the borderline.
I think Like a Rolling Stone
remember
is a classic.
Remember me to one who lives there.
Oh, they're singing now. We'll never get them home. We'll never get them home now. We're going to get kicked out of the West End.
Absolutely. I get goose pimples.
We'll
now.
Be back after this.
If you're traveling in the North Country fire, where the winds hit heavy on the borderline, remember me to one who lives there. For she once was a true love of mine. If you go when the snowflakes storm, when the rivers freeze and summer ends, please see she has a coat so warm to keep her from the howling wind. Please see if her hair hangs long, if it rolls and flows all down her breast. Please see for me if her hair's hanging long, for that's the way I remember her best. I'm wondering if she remembers me at all. Many times I've often prayed in the darkness of my night, in the brightness of my day. Thank you. if you're traveling the North Country Fair, where the winds hit heavy on the borderline. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine.
Reflect a star's life. Your face, how it's warm. Well, scars come with fame. With drink in hand, you miss and reminisce. Days of glory and laughter, and sing with the band. The chill of fall trembles in the dark blue sky. Now the stage is set as a candle burns. Vanilla light, your light. Vanilla light, your spotlight. The dance is center stage. Dance is center stage.
Why did you cry? Why did you die?
Your stardom, your kingdom is not what it seems. Your life, our blackout as the curtain comes down. With drink in hand, you debate with hate. Nights of torment, of tears, and singing with the band.
Why did you die?
Commanding center stage.
Why did you die?
Forgotten lines, forgotten loves, lost along the way. Out of step, out of time. A star in decay.
Thank you.
Right, so we're back again. We're going to round this off. Obviously, your album After the Storm. Like I said, it's getting a bit lively in the Leopard Bar in the West End with Marino. So we're going to... your material, where is it available?
The best place to go is to marinoafterthestorm.com.
So that's marinoafterthestorm.com.
Yeah, and then you can get to Facebook and everywhere else. You need to go from there.
So
I will always find time to sign a copy, you know.
If you want a signed copy, get yourself on there, purchase it. It is well worth it. And we'll round off with what are your plans for the 2019 after the album's release? No, please tell me. I know we spoke about this off air. We're on a podcast.
Well,
we can always bleep this bit out for the radio, for Smile Radio.
Fuck myself into oblivion, you know, that's going to be the way. Bottle of Jack Daniels to celebrate and go, man, go. You know it.
So, all right, I'm going to round that off. Thank you very much for Marino, for turning up. Marino,
rock and roll forever,
bro. Rock and roll forever. Thank you, Nathan, for producing this. Lee, Don, Dano, and the Leopard Bar for... so we'll go and have a drink.
Absolutely.
And thank you very much. So
cheers, brother.
Tune in, so that's it.
Cool.
And we'll speak to you soon. Bye.
Psychopaths on the path to conquer the world. Thank you.